It is an ancient custom in the church that during this season of Eastertide, we read from the Acts of the Apostles. That account of those first followers of Jesus and what happened to them and what they did after the death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them. How they, filled with the Holy Spirit, went out into the world proclaiming the good news. For the past nearly 2 years, as the vestry has met, we've begun each meeting with a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. We're doing our Bible study and just making our way through that book. And part of the reason for that is to see what we can learn from the early church, from those first followers of Jesus, what they did, how they were church together, to see what we might learn from them, how we might be inspired by their witness as it comes to us in that book. And so on Wednesday night this past week, when the vestry gathered, we did our usual opening with Bible study from the Acts of the Apostles. And we read another account from Acts. We didn't hear it this morning, but it's an account of Peter having a vision of a great sheet let down. And on that sheet are animals. Animals that Peter, as someone who is a good person following the law, would never eat. They are unclean. And Peter hears a voice saying, "Go and eat." And God says, "Nothing I have made is unclean." And Peter goes from that event to seeing the Holy Spirit poured out on Gentiles and comes to see God is doing a new work. Peter comes to see that all may become followers of Jesus, not just those who are Jewish. And Peter's whole life, his whole worldview is changed and transformed. As the vestry talked about what that account might mean and what is going on there, they noted that Peter's experience must have been a very intense one. That is such a dramatic, all-encompassing transformation. His life would never be the same. And we speculated it must have been challenging for him to say yes to that radical call, to trust that vision, to trust that word of God, and to live life in a wholly new way, giving up those understandings of life from the past, embracing this new thing that God is doing. In our lesson this morning, we just in passing heard the mention of Saul and how the witnesses laid their coats at his feet. Saul is another of those in the Acts of the Apostles who has a radical life transformation. Saul going off to Damascus, being blinded by light, hearing Jesus speak to him. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul's life turned upside down, going from persecutor to follower of Jesus. So it is, the book of Acts is full of these accounts of people full of the Holy Spirit, having visions, having life transformed, experiencing their lives in a way turned upside down. But finding in that experience new life, new possibility, the promise even of resurrection. We are 5 weeks from Easter Day, that day where the church is full and we have great joy, that promise of new life lived out in the weather, although it's really taken till now to really see that. But to have that promise of new birth. But then, 5 weeks later, we're still asking the question, but what does that mean? Is it only about the Easter lilies and the crowds, festive eggs, warm weather, blooming plants? Or is it about something more? Is resurrected life about a deeper call? A call to transformation, a call to new life, a call to living a new vision of God. So in our first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard the account of Stephen, or at least the end of that account. It's quite a lengthy one. At the beginning of the book, Jesus is telling his disciples to go out and be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so we have Stephen witnessing. In fact, Stephen's preaching gets him into trouble with the authorities. They don't like what he's saying. The religious authorities don't like that he is saying Jesus is the Son of God. And so they stone Stephen. Now, that word witness comes from a Greek word, which is also the same word for martyr. To be a witness is to tell of the things that we have seen and experienced, to tell of the risen Lord. But being a witness can also lead to Stephen's fate, to martyrdom, to coming up against the powers of this world, and in Stephen's case, losing his life. Stephen, however, is very rooted in Jesus, so that even while he is being stoned, he has a vision. He sees Jesus standing at the throne of God, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he remains focused on Jesus even in his suffering, praying that Jesus would receive his Spirit, and finally saying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Even as he is being put to death, he prays for forgiveness. He does not pray that those who are doing this to him meet the same fate. He prays they will be forgiven. In Stephen's death, we hear echoes of Jesus' own experience on the cross. How Jesus remains focused on God's will. The night before he is crucified, Jesus prays, "Let this cup pass from me, but your will be done." Jesus is so rooted in relationship with God that he lets God's will be done. And then from the cross, he, like Stephen, prays to God that God would receive his Spirit, and finally asks that the Father forgive those who are killing him, saying they don't know what they do. So just like Stephen, Stephen has modeled his death on that of Jesus. He's so rooted in the experience by the Holy Spirit of Jesus that he remains focused even as he dies. To live, I think, this life of resurrection is to be so focused on Jesus, to be so formed in the image of Jesus, that we see in ourselves that life of Jesus, lived through us by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. To live this resurrection life is to have visions, to not accept things as they are, to not say what you see is all there is, but to allow the Holy Spirit to give us glimpses of eternity, to see the throne of God, to see God's vision for us, for this world, to not get stuck in the past. And I think living this resurrected life is to put our trust completely and utterly in the hands of God, not in my power, not in yours, not into the promises of the world which do not lead to life abundant, but in God. And it is to, in all things, practice love and forgiveness, to be people of reconciliation in our broken and needy world. To live this Easter life is to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to form us, to shape us, to form us into that people God would have us be, into that holy people. We who once were no people. This is not to say that this is easy work or it always goes well. Some would say that Stephen failed. He was killed. How could that be about the business of bringing in the kingdom of God? What can God do with Stephen's death? But God can use all things. Can use all things for the good. And there are times in which the most challenging things we experience are the times we grow the most. And what's interesting is that after Stephen died, there was a great persecution of the church and Christians scattered. But in the scattering, they continued to live the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. They continued to preach the good news. And so that message was taken to places it might not otherwise have gone. The message was taken to the ends of the earth. God could even use what seemed as failure for the good, for the furthering of the kingdom. We have echoes of that in today's gospel. It's a section of John's gospel known as the farewell discourse. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death. He is about to leave them. These are the disciples who believe he is the Messiah, the one who's going to deliver them, to set them free from all that oppresses, to free them from this occupying force of Rome. But wait, how can this happen if he is being put to death? And so we learn at the beginning of the gospel that their hearts are troubled. They don't want to lose Jesus, and it doesn't make sense. This is not how the plan was supposed to go. So Jesus is preparing them. And what he's preparing them for is something much bigger than their limited vision of that moment. He's preparing them for something even larger than setting free from an occupying force. He's preparing them for the promise of life and life eternal. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Though Jesus goes away, though he is killed, the promise is that that love they share, that love of God known in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, will never be severed. No matter what happens to them, what happens to you and to me, God's love endures. God's love will triumph. Even in the face of death, in the face of suffering and challenge, God is there, and love will not be defeated. What Jesus is offering his disciples is that deep, abiding relationship, that love that he shares with the Father. If you have seen the Father, you have seen me, he says. Jesus and the Father are one. And we are invited into that deep relationship. The Holy Spirit, which dwells in each of us, unites us to God, binds us to God, and forms us into God's people. And at the end, leads us to that place Jesus has prepared for us. So by the whole power of the Holy Spirit, these disciples go forth from being confused and troubled. They go forth from hiding in a room behind locked doors on Easter day. They go forth to change the world. By the power of the Spirit, they go forth to proclaim that promise of resurrection life. Their lives are turned upside down for the good. They are radically transformed into the followers of Jesus. And so in this Eastertide, as we live through this time, as we put on the resurrected life of Jesus, let us be open to the promptings of the Spirit. May we dare to open ourselves to those visions we are given, those glimpses of eternity, to that way God would have us live, to the relationships God would have us enter into, to the vision of this world transformed. May we, like Stephen, be so full of the Spirit that Jesus is the one we are focused on, not ourselves, not anything in this world, but Jesus, praying that Jesus would hold us and support us in times of trial, and that Jesus would take us to eternity at the end of time. So may we never despair, never be troubled, but trust in this promise of the Spirit, that no matter what might happen, God's love will not be frustrated. And as the disciples went to the ends of the earth, may we take this good news out into the world, sharing this reality of resurrection with others. Jesus is the way to the room he is making for us with God, that eternal dwelling in loving relationship with God and with one another. So our hearts need never be troubled. God's promise, God's love, never ends. Amen.